No matter how old we get, we never outgrow that song. It's one of the greatest ever written. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. And we will read the first 13 verses of that chapter. That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, indeed, Father, we thank you for this, your word. We, your children, are gathered here this day to hear it. And we pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would give us ears to hear. Grant us that grace, Father. And so fill us and renew us. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This, of course, is a very familiar parable of Jesus. It's one of those that very often is missed within its context, again, which we quite often are able to do. The 24th chapter of St. Matthew, of course, is the great eschatological discourse of Jesus. It's the great announcement of understanding that the disciples were asking Jesus about the end and what would be the sign of all of this. Jesus has just thoroughly rebuked the Pharisees for their false religion. So he has come out of this and he's telling his disciples, what I'm warning you about, what you need to understand, is that you don't make this your own personal property in terms of your understanding. He says, no one knows the hour or the day. And we have this complete mythology that we have invented about the end of the world. It has sold books, it's sold movies, it's done everything you can possibly think of except be right. Because the fact of the matter is that Jesus says nobody knows. So what we have to understand is if somebody runs around saying they know, they're lying. They don't know. Nobody knows. And he doesn't mean they know some. He means they don't know. They don't know anything about it, and neither does anybody else. And we know it's a mythology because they've constructed all of these weird things about how this is going to happen, and it's going to take this year, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and then that thing's going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then all that stuff happens, and nothing happens, and then they make all the excuses for why that didn't happen, and then you go back and you repeat this thing over and over again. And nobody ever comes to the fact of understanding. Jesus says, the coming of the Son of Man is going to be like a flash of lightning. Now, I don't know about you. I can't really count those very well. You know, I've sat and I've watched thunderstorms. I love those things. You know, I grew up on Lake Erie. We used to watch them roll across the lake. It's unbelievable, the power and the lightning and things like that. And you sit there and look at that. And let me tell you, lightning flash doesn't take a whole lot of time. That's it. Jesus says, that's what the appearing of the Son of Man will be like. Because it's like a flash of lightning. Now, I love how people are wandering around looking for signs. And I'm willing to go. If it's going to be 70 degrees in November and that's a sign of the end, then count me in. I'm in. I'm in on that one. If that's it, then let's have some more of those signs. You know, let's have signs all through the winter. Let's have 70 in January. You know, if that's going to be the sign of the end, well, I'm all for it. Then count me in for that. But we know how ridiculous that is. The weather isn't the sign of the end. The election isn't the sign of the end. I hate to tell you, it's got nothing to do with it. The only sign of the end is the sign that when Jesus comes to the end of all of this that he talks about, he says, in 2 days, the Son of Man is to be betrayed and to be crucified. When Jesus was asked, what will be the sign of this? He told them very clearly, he says, no sign is going to be given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days. He says, that's the sign. And we understand. What does that mean? His resurrection. He means very clearly, here's the sign. He says, I guarantee you that the world is going to end. He says, here's the sign that I rise from the dead. I've brought a new creation to you. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in this parable. This is why as soon as he comes out of chapter 24, he's telling them very clearly. He says, well, what's going to happen in those days? He says, you're going to have a lot of people mislead you. The whole thing of chapter 24 is about all these misleading things. And he says, they're going to look at these things and they're going to tell you they're signs. He says, but I'm telling you, those are just birth pains. He says, those are just birth pains. He says, but what I do want you to know is I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. Because that's really the core, is to be ready, to be ready. The parable that he tells is about readiness. And that's why we miss the sense of this parable so often. What he's talking about is readiness. He says, you have 5 young women, maidens, who are accompanying a wedding party. They're waiting. He says, you have 5 wise ones, 5 foolish ones. You have 5 that make the preparations that are necessary. They bring extra oil just in case the bridegroom is delayed. So they light their lamps. They have light. They're ready for when the bridegroom comes. He says, there's 5 foolish ones. They are not wise. He says, they don't make any preparation for anything. He says, they don't have any oil. He says, so when the bridegroom comes, they wouldn't be able to see to be able to get there. So now when the shout comes that the bridegroom is coming, he says, the 5 foolish ones say, well, give us your oil. And the wise ones say, well, we can't because there won't be enough. You got to go to the store. Now you realize back in the days when Jesus is living, they didn't have hours. You know, they didn't have like, okay, we'll be open 10 to 5. You know, they didn't have that sort of thing. You know, so they're just saying, well, you got to go over to the merchant. You got to talk him into selling you oil. So, and by the time they do that, then it's too late. Now, this isn't a mean parable. Jesus isn't trying to be mean to anybody. He's not trying to make it sound as though God's keeping people from this. What he's saying is just to understand. I want you to realize you need to be constantly vigilant. You need to be constantly ready. Now, we understand when he's talking about this, the readiness for us is not oil. It's not lamps. It's nothing like that. It's Jesus Christ. The readiness that Jesus is talking about is Jesus Christ. It's knowing Jesus Christ. It's understanding and knowing that he is the Son of God who has risen from the dead. That he has, as a matter of fact, shed his blood for the sin of the world. And that all who will come to him, all who will come, will receive freely from him that marvelous gift, the gift of his grace. It's understanding and knowing that day in and day out, that that's what we live in, that we recognize very clearly, yeah, it's 70 degrees in November in the UP, and that's unusual. You know, we don't usually do that. My neighbor is not normally out in the November mowing his grass, you know, which he was the other day. You know, that's normally not happening. But we recognize very clearly that doesn't mean that anything has changed except the weather. The reality is what I really hope for my neighbor is I hope that my neighbor knows in his heart that Jesus Christ has suffered and died for him, that his sins have been taken away. Because that may be the last day. Because it's not going to come with a lot of warning. Jesus, when he said this, he says it's going to be like in the days of Noah. He says people are going to be running around. They're going to be getting married. They're going to be given in marriage. He says this is the way this is going to be. He says when all of a sudden Noah closed up the ark and that was it. That we come to this place, the true ark. Because that's how St. Peter describes Jesus as the true ark. That now saves us. It's Jesus Christ who saves us. It's Jesus Christ who has accomplished this work. It's Jesus Christ who gives us everlasting life. And it's Jesus Christ who makes us ready for the day of his appearing. That's why I read that text out of Thessalonians. You understand, the end of the world is not to scare anybody. St. Paul says that very clearly. It's not to scare people. You know why you scare people? So you can sell them books and sell them DVDs. That's why you scare people, because you can get them to do stuff. That wouldn't work in the book industry that we have now. So now we have to come up with all these sort of things. We've got to scare people. St. Paul says, you are the children of God. And as the children of God, you are children of light. You are not of the darkness. So that day will not overtake you unaware, he says. And then he says that wonderful thing at the end of it. He says, you comfort one another with these words. You know, we don't do that. Because we're fear-mongers. Our world is full of fear. That's what we do. We spread fear instead of running around telling people, well, you know, actually, Jesus has everything under control. Jesus handled it. You know, he took care of everything. And as a matter of fact, the day of his appearing, you don't even have to be afraid of anything, because as a matter of fact, you can be comforted. So be comforted. Be comforted. Comfort one another with these words. Tell them. Tell them. When there's trouble and when there's turmoil, you tell them. You tell them very clearly. Well, do you believe, do you know, that Jesus Christ died for you? Do you believe that the Son of the Living God, as a matter of fact, has sacrificed himself for you, has given you his life, so that you would understand that now? Well, if he gave you his life, if he did that for you, what more could he give? You know, as the song says, see how he loves you and me. Understand very clearly, how much does God love us? The Roman instrument of torture shows us how much he loves us. Jesus hangs on a cross and suffers and dies in order to guarantee us eternity, to give us everlasting life, so that we would know, so that we would understand. And we are to be wise. We're to be ready now. We have the oil. We're ready. The lamps are trimmed. We're ready. Why? Because we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Where are our eyes? What are we looking at? That's really the question. What are we looking at? What do we look at in our world? Are we looking for signs? We're going to be horribly disappointed. The sign has already come. It's already done. He just warned us and told us Just hold on till the end. That's what he said. He said, hold fast till the end. He says, remain steadfast until the end. See, God doesn't play with this stuff. He didn't leave it up to us. He didn't run around and tell people, I'm going to have this guy come along in the 1980s and he's going to write a book and I want you to follow that. God said very directly, I'm going to tell you how this goes. And I'm going to show you. And the key to all of this is, in whom do you put your trust? So I'm going to have Gwen play a little. Lee and Nancy Barkel sent me just this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful little video yesterday. It was just one of the greatest things. And it's just so worth doing. So I asked Gwen if she could find it, pull it up. So she's going to play it. Let's pray. Gracious and almighty God, you provided the sacrifice. You gave us everything. Everything. Father, we are a forgetful people. And our minds run off in every direction. We live in fear. But Father, we need trust. We need faith. We need to understand and know the power of the gift of your Son. And we need to find rest. And so, Father, we pray this day that in the greatness of your mercy, once again, you would show us the sacrifice of your Son, the power of his resurrection, the depth of your commitment and your love toward us, and we would be at peace. Father, you have made us ready through the blood of the Lamb, and in readiness, we face you this day. Whatever you do, Father, is right. Whatever you do is holy. Whatever you do is just. And may we see and know and follow that pathway and walk as you give us light. You've given us the lamps. You've given us the oil. You've even given us the flame. Let us follow with thankful hearts as we await the coming of our bridegroom. That in all things, Father, your name would be hallowed and glorified. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.